You know, isn't it great that that God is in not some far-off, distant place? You know, sometimes when we think of heaven, we think of it being a place that is way, way far away. But I can't explain the reality of it other than when Christ says, "Pray to your Father in this way, our Father, the one who is in the heavens." The idea there is not he's in not in some far-off, distant place, but he is present among us. And I don't necessarily understand how that can happen, but it's a glorious thing to know that Dad is present. Abba is present. And he hears our prayers. And there are times when we get glimpses of that. I think of Stephen in Acts 7 where he's about to die. He looked up and he saw Christ standing right there at the throne of God. It was right there standing. So in a strange dimensional way, he is present among us. Father, we thank you that you hear our prayers. We thank you, Lord, that you are responsive to our prayers according to your purposes and for our good. So, Lord, we dedicate ourselves to continue to pray for your people, to pray for this ministry. Lord, to intercede and to praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the privileges that we have this morning is we have Claudine Salinga. Claudine is married to Pastor Nubaku Salinga, who is one of our supported missionaries. We were introduced to him back in 2007 when we established a vision trip to Congo to work with the Congolese Evangelical Free Church and develop a partnership. And it was a great privilege going and just seeing them and being a part of that when he was president. And since that time, we've sent several teams over, and Dave is going over in a couple of months to work and do some more work in the Alikia Center, a place of hope, working with those orphans that are there. And but today we have the privilege of having Claudine Salinga with us. Last year we had Pastor Salinga. This week we get this time we get his better half. All right. I want to invite Claudine and Thelma to come on up. We also met Thelma while we were in Congo. Thelma has spent her life, much of her life, in Zaire, which has become Congo. Back, I believe it was, what, in the 1960s? And so she is a great partner in the ministry. Yeah. So, all right. God bless. Let me pray for you guys, all right? Father, we commit this time of sharing to you. Lord, may you speak clearly. Lord, may you help Claudine just communicate the vision and the passion that you have put into her heart, Lord, that we may catch fire as well and that we may participate. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, church. That's the little bit of English that I know. At first, I want to thank God for bringing us here to this place with you today. And I want to thank Pastor Martin for the invitation that he sent, inviting me to come here. It's often very difficult for us to come here because we have to have a visa and they aren't very easily given. But to get an invitation from the pastor and your church was a way that was helpful for me to get my visa to come. And I want to thank you too as a church for the way you support us as a family in Kinshasa. I was very surprised when we were told that we were going to have the whole morning service in order to speak to you, because that doesn't happen very often.
mwana lisusu ete kopesaki ndeko na biso awa nzela mpona bato oyo bazangi ndako na yebi ete nzambe akopambola bino mingi mpona oyo.
And it was good for me to hear other ministries that you're involved with, what, like this Freezing Nights, and giving that lady a chance to explain the ministry and the need that she has for help with that program. And may God bless you for this work. At first, I want to explain a little bit, what is Tabitha? The name of our group is Tabitha Center. And I think we know what Tabitha's work was when we read the Bible. Tabitha's work became her ministry and her mission to find others that needed Jesus. And that's how we chose that name for our center, so that it would be our ministry to and our mission to the people in Kinshasa. This is going, the Tabitha Center is a way of giving hope to young girls who don't have any hope. It is teaching God's word to some of these young girls. And we're also showing them how to work with their hands and give them something that they can use to earn some money. And first I want to give you a greeting from my husband. When I was ready to come on this trip, my husband had already left a week before that to go on a trip to Kenya. He was in southern Sudan for working on a program for church planting. He just got home to his home again in Kinshasa on the 1st. And I think it's the first time that he's ever come home from a trip and I wasn't there to greet him. He's used to me being there, and when he comes back from a trip, I fixed a good meal and have the house all cleaned up for him, and this time he didn't have that. And the first night there, he didn't sleep very well because it was a pretty empty house. And I want to greet you as well from my children. I have 5 children. The first is Trésor, and he's 24, and that means treasure in English. The second is Esther, she's 22. And she is actually doing a semester at a college in Iowa, Dort College. The third one is Grace, and he's 17. And Sarah is 15. And the last one is Jehoshaphat, who is 11. And you'll see there's one extra in there, and she is an orphan named Matundi, which means thanks, and she is 14. This is our family. And before I get into the details on the Tabitha Center, I want to tell you a little bit about my husband's job. My husband is the director of Reach Africa. And Reach Africa is a part of our Free Church mission, Reach Global, reaching out around the world. And Reach Africa is now working in 21 different countries of the on the continent of Africa.
Et si pour former des églises 3500.
They have been working in training trainers to be church planters, and they have now been teaching about 3,500 people to work in the area of church planting. In many countries where missionaries are not allowed to go, our African people from the continent are allowed to go. And they have planted 650 churches in about 3 years since this ministry began. And they're also beginning a program through the mission called Acts 19. And they are choosing key cities around the world as a mission here in the U.S., and five of those cities are in Africa. And a large part of my husband's work is forming partnerships with other groups that are working in the city and in the continent, on the continent. One is Life International.
Life International is a mingi ko pesa valeur na vie humaine.
It is a ministry that is teaching the value of life, and as you heard in that video, that's something that's not very known in Africa a lot of times, and this is something very new for them. And when pastors come and hear some of the teachings, they're amazed at how little they know about the value of life that God has given us. And we also have a partnership now with Awana. And we heard Pastor praying for the Awana group. And then the man who, we met a man after the first service who said he was the one who sort of made the connection when Pastor Salenga was here with the Awana office in the U.S. And that's how Awana is going to be starting in Congo. And they're changing the program a little bit, and the program in Kinshasa is going to be like a pilot program because they're oral learners, and a lot of these kids that are going to be reached with Awana don't even know how to read. So they're working the program to a point where they can teach it orally, and that's going to be a pilot program that they hope will be able to be used in other countries in Africa as well. Another partnership is J-Life.
J-Life is a ministry that is a ministry for our children.
And this is basically a ministry to young people. And another group is CHE, which is Community Health Evangelism. And that is a program helping with the health needs of people and communities realizing what they can do for themselves and attaching evangelism as part of that program. And we have another one, Centurion Project. And this is a program reaching to the police and the soldiers in the country. I said this morning in the first service that since I have been here in your country, I see there's a lot of peace compared to what I am used to in Kinshasa. I've been here a whole week and a half, and not one policeman has ever bothered me or asked me for anything. And in Kinshasa, it is not like that. And we are sometimes embarrassed when visitors come and they see how our police treat people. And we are in a partnership now with a group that comes and does seminars with police and officers in many areas of Kinshasa and other countries in Africa. And then we have our Tabitha Center, which is what brought me here today.
Tabitha Center ebandaki liboso tozalaki na province na nord na Congo.
Originally, my husband and I were working in the north part of Congo in the Equator province. I was a pastor's wife and he was a pastor for 8 years. And then he was the president of our church in Congo for another 8 years. And then God gave him the work of being a missionary. And that brought us to the capital city of Kinshasa. Now, I'm going to add a little thing here that she doesn't know I'm adding. I just found out yesterday, they have been in Kinshasa for 4 years now in December, and not once has she been able to go home and see her family that lives up north in the country. It's very difficult for them to travel in the country. And when we got to Kinshasa, my husband very quickly was involved in a lot of aspects of the work there, and I found myself not having anything really to do as a ministry from what I was used to doing when I lived in the Equator province. And I began praying and asking God to show me what I could do as ministry for him in Kinshasa. And I quickly saw the needs looking at young people in the city. We have wars and fighting going on in Kinshasa and in Congo for many, many years now. It's more than 15 years. Especially in the eastern part of the country, you hear of Goma and some of those areas, and there's fighting all the time. And because of that, many people have left these areas where the fighting is most severe and coming to the city of Kinshasa thinking that they will have a better life there. The population of Kinshasa now has exceeded 11 million people. And because of all the strife in the areas, the government is not working very well right now. People are trying to work, but they are not being paid very well for their work. And many of them are just people without work. And the young people don't have the means to pay for going to school, and they just get into trouble. They have another group called Koluna, and I won't even try to translate that. It's like a group of bandits getting together, and they'll have machetes in their hands, and they'll use those weapons and really injure people trying to steal things from them, like the telephone. If you have your telephone in your hand, whoop, it's gone. And for the ladies who have a purse, you have it very tightly held under your arm so somebody can't grab it off of your shoulder. My son let me know even last Saturday when I wasn't home, on his way home from school, they stole his telephone. And then even on TV, we see every week on television, young girls have given birth to a baby and they're just sort of thrown on the ground because they have no way to take care of them. And many of the young girls are having abortions that aren't done properly and they die from the results of the abortion. And this is what led me to find some way that I could help some of these young girls. And because of this situation, one of the easiest ways for them to make money is to get involved in the sex trade and in prostitution.
Congo,
While we were working in Gemena in the north before we moved to Kinshasa, through the orphan program, they were starting a new program called Choose Life, which is put out through World Vision. And our daughter Esther was in that program in the beginning. And we saw a big change in her life, even as a young girl brought up in our home. We could see how that program was helping her. And that was the first thing that I started to use as a way to reach out to these young girls. And these were the girls that I invited to come into my home and to see if we could study this course together. Some of them are neighbors of our home in Kinshasa. And others are from the church in which they are worshiping. Many of them are from the interior of the country, have left their families, and are there on their own. Some are orphans. And I invited them into my home to begin studying God's Word together. And using this book, Choose Life. And in that study, it's a lot of asking questions to find out what they're thinking and having them respond. And they really are very, very interested in learning and finding something that will give them hope. And they already asked me, can't you do some kind of course like that for our parents to help them to know how to raise their children, including us? These children have spiritual difficulties. They have problems in relationships, in society. And they have emotional problems, sometimes from the situations that they had to leave in the areas where they were brought up. And their vision was just stopped right here. They had no hope to go any further than right where they are now. They didn't have many choices or solutions for their problems except to get involved in thievery or in the prostitution program. So I tried to think of some way to help them be able to have a way to make a living. And part of that was to start teaching them how to sew. I've been a sewer for a long time. That was something I knew how to do and could go on to teach someone else. If you have a trade like this, you may not work in a factory or something, but just having that one thing that you can do gives you the ability to sew and sell something to someone else because everybody needs to have clothes to wear. And often what they'll do is they'll bring you their cloth. They've already paid for the cloth, but you're doing the job of the seamstress in order to make that into something that they can wear. And I had two sewing machines, so that was part of my beginning up this ministry. They could come and I could teach them how to cut out some kind of an outfit and then start sewing it. And that was something that was very popular, and now I have 25 girls who are trying to learn how to sew. We worked very hard, and we now actually have 9 sewing machines. And as you saw in the video, they're not all in great shape. And as you'll see in the foyer in the back, we have 2 more sewing machines that have been donated to the work. And God bless them for doing this. She saw the one and she said, "Oh, it's beautiful."
Na kati na o nyoso to mola ke te ezana bana basi mususu bazana posa na koyekola me bazana likabo na kotonga te.
And when, just like everywhere else, we found there are some girls that really don't have a very good gift for sewing, so we had to find something else for them to do. So we have other possibilities that we hope will be able to be added to the program. One of the things is cosmetics. All young women or older women need some help sometimes in makeup and things like that. So that's a very popular topic. And then we want to add the hairdressing. We sort of got mixed up on that one. All the young ladies have to have their hair fixed, and this is quite a work. And so that's another thing they're taught to do. And then we're working on the computer skills. We're looking for things that they are interested in, and then we can use that as the basis for starting programs to teach them. Another one added up here now is the computer cooking classes. The two big things right now, if you're going to find a job, is computer skills and knowing English. And this is another area that we're using to have, hopefully, to have some English training. And then when they come to our classes, we add Bible training to that time that they're spending with us. We do Bible study, and this is giving them hope to see that there is more of a future for them. They have a huge vision. In 5 years, she hopes to add 1,000 centers like this in the city of Kinshasa. Kinshasa is a big city, so there's lots of room for this kind of work. And because of my husband's contacts with other pastors and churches in the city through the CCE, ECC, which is a group that gathers together the Protestant churches in the city, I'm now trying to get connections with their wives, so I can teach them about this program and be able to pass this work on to others. We are knocking on doors of churches and pastors and asking them to allow us to have a place where a group like this can meet, and then they will be able to help in this ministry and help it to grow. And we're giving this as an opportunity to some of these pastors' wives to start teaching in this kind of a program like I've been doing. And then the girls that have been trained in the program, it's our desire that they will go and then be associated with some of these other pastors' wives and be their helpers in being able to multiply the work and be able to help others learn what they have been able to learn through the program. And it is our hope that this kind of a vision will change the lives of these young girls and give them hope. Kinshasa has had lots of teaching about the gospel, but there are many people who will call themselves Christians and they really don't understand a whole lot about their faith. And so we call them either, I always forget this word, underreached. They're not non-reached, but they're underreached. And it's our desire to see them grow in their faith as well. It's only been about a year and a half that we've started this ministry of the Tabitha Center. But we're seeing God's hand already in this ministry. The video that you saw about Mama Fifi is one example. I started in our Bible study with 12 young girls, young women. And through some of this teaching and help that these girls have gotten, there are two that are now engaged and almost married. And getting married in Kinshasa comes in three steps. The first one is a normal, what's the word I want to use? It's a customary marriage, and that is involving the family of the husband paying money to the family of the wife, which is called a bride price. That's the first step. And then the second step, you have a civil ceremony, and that's very common in Europe. And the third step is what we would like to see them being married in a church, in a Christian ceremony. And two of these girls are ready to do that third step this December. And just before I left, the fourth girl came to tell me that she now is engaged and she's going to bring her fiancé to see me when I get back. So this is to show you that God is working and helping in this ministry. And I want to give you a little work to do, that you would pray for this ministry as we continue working in Kinshasa. That God will give us the wisdom in how to minister to these girls. And that they will have confidence in what they are learning. And that God will provide the means that we need in order to keep this kind of program going. And pray also that other partners will come alongside and work with us as we continue this program. That God will be glorified in this work. It's a big vision, and we can't do it on our own. So we are here today inviting you to come and see what God is doing in the Congo. And if you come and see, we guarantee that you will come home with another way that you can help continue the work of God. Thank you very much. But I have to tell you, before we finish, we have a new style of outfits for Congo. We don't wear this little shirt underneath it in Congo because it's very warm. And when we're going to take a picture and show it to my friends in Congo, and they're going to laugh at our new style. Okay.
You know, it's really important. One of the important things for us to understand is why do we go someplace over there? Why do we go out here to our own neighborhood? Why do we go to South Hill and beyond? It's because that's what Christ did for us, and He modeled it. He said, we are salt and we are light. Wherever we go, wherever we happen to find ourselves, but also in an intentional way. And when I went to Congo, so we were flying into Kinshasa, this town at that point of about 10 million people. It was the middle of the night. Looked down and then we landed. We walked into the airport. I thought to myself, man, we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. And it was quite an experience, and it will forever mark you in a good way. And if you think that the difference between going from Puyallup to Kinshasa is huge, think of how great it was for Christ to come from the presence of heaven into our own presence. And that's what we're here to celebrate this morning. For this attitude, this same attitude should be in you that was in Christ Jesus, that He being made in the very, He in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, put aside His own self-interests, so He may serve the needs of another, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross.